All right, class, settle down, settle down. Just a few more minutes and school's out forever. Oh, that would be a good idea for a song. I'm going to jot that down somewhere. I'm going to go on and be a rock band musician after this. Well, that's it, though. That's it for the Umbrella Podcademy. I'm Alex.
Wait, Teach. Maybe we should be a band. Maybe me, the bad student in the back, and you, and that other guy, Pete, who doesn't have much of a
character.
What's
up, I'm Pete?
He could be our hype man. Well, that's it. We are wrapping
up. I'm Justin.
Yeah, I'm glad we did that bit to the bitter end. We are wrapping up the Umbrella Academy Season 4, Episode 6, End of the Beginning, the final episode. It is on Netflix now.
Alex, it's the end of the beginning.
That's what I said.
It's the beginning of the end.
It's going to keep going.
Yes.
All right, great. Looking forward to recapping Umbrella Academy seasons 5 through 10 with you guys. I think that should be a lot of fun. Just kidding. It's done forever, and there will be no spinoffs for a variety of reasons, which we probably don't want to get into on this podcast. But let's do a brief bit of recap here. So the cleanse has begun as Jen and Ben have gotten together. They've turned into a horrible goop monster. Meanwhile, Jean, who is secretly Abigail? It's been a little while since I watched
this. That's correct.
Yes, thank you. Reginald's wife.
Wait, did you mean Jean or Jean?
Yeah, we're talking about Jean.
Not Jean. So Jean kills Jean, and then Jean is dead.
Whoa, spoilers.
This is all spoilers. Meanwhile, the Umbrella Academy is trying to figure out how to stop it. Lila and Five come back from the subway multiverse 7 years later, and it all becomes revealed, leading to a conflict between Five and Diego in the midst of another conflict with the Jen Ben cleanse monster, who ultimately takes Reginald and Abigail, and then Five, thanks to bumping into a bunch of his other selves in the subway, realizes the only way of stopping this is by eliminating the Umbrella Academy from all timelines. And that's exactly what happens. They give themselves over to the cleanse. Their Marigold is taken back and merged with the Durango. The Umbrella Academy never existed. Nobody has memories. And we end with a idyllic utopian world where they never existed, and everybody we've met over the course of the seasons, or most of them, Mary J. does not show up.
Not Mary J., but she was in the post-credits kind of picture stuff, so that was
exactly,
nice.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure she is suing the show over that, and they're all there, and they're all kind of normal, and then we get one last mid-credit scene of a bunch of marigolds blooming, so perhaps it is the end of the beginning, after all. Before we get into the episode or anything, this is the final episode of a series that we followed for 4 seasons. So how are you guys feeling about it? How'd you feel about the finale? How'd you feel about the show as a whole? Justin?
I think it's going to pivot to sort of a gardening show where we follow these marigolds as they bloom over the next
couple weeks. Yeah, I hear Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg are doing a spinoff, so it'll be cool.
Exactly right.
Great.
That's it. Well, here's the thing about this finale. There was some stuff to like. It's interesting what I feel like this show chose to value in this final season, which feels like Lila went from an addition to the show in a later season to like almost the emotional center of it. The Lila, Five, Diego situation, I guess.
Love triangle.
Romance is a hard one. Well, but was it? It's hard to say because it felt like
it's just a subway fling. You guys have all been on the subway. You fall in love for 5 seconds, then you gotta get off of your stop. It's just
make
part
out,
of riding
have
the subway.
Sex briefly, and then
life. Yeah, and then have to go home to your family and say, "Hey, that didn't."
The
count.
Other day, a woman on the subway did throw strawberries at me, but I don't think it was love, to be honest with you.
You never know. In her world, that could be love.
Oh, I guess so. I gotta go.
That's
find
really
her.
Beautiful, Pete.
I'll tell you my wife.
Your strawberry wife was going to find you, Alex.
Strawberry wife.
That's also part of the gardening show that we're going to be seeing. And so, like,
wait,
and I
want to talk about the Lila.
We will. Hold on. I'm just giving overall impressions.
Overview, Pete.
Yeah, I know, but she had a banger line
overview,
that got
you know
me
that
in
because
field.
We're not actually doing that.
Yeah. No, okay. In fact, we never do that.
Yeah.
But so the show really values those characters. And the show sort of really devalued Allison, and Klaus, I feel like, this season. And they definitely got the short end of the stick in this finale, I felt like, where they just didn't have much to say at all. Luther got to be Luther throughout. So, like, I don't know. It left me feeling like it was a strange way to end the show, but it's a strange show. So in maybe that way it's fitting. I do have to take the show to task with the sort of takeaway message. Like, if you watch this whole show and you're like, what does that make me think? Oh, it's better to just not exist? Maybe?
Yeah.
I feel like that's sort of a not a great walk-away message to a show that we've all loved.
You know what? It would be cooler if you didn't exist. And then none of us would have these problems because you wouldn't be here.
What it reminded me of the most, and this was my initial gut reaction, it's not exactly one-to-one. It reminded me of the Seinfeld finale, where the same thing, like, we were watching Seinfeld, and we know they're not good people while we're watching Seinfeld. We do not need an entire finale to drive that point home. And here, if the point was, oh, these people shouldn't be together, they make everybody's lives worse, we know that. But like you were saying, Justin, we've watched them for four seasons, and clearly we like them and we like the show. The takeaway being, like, everything would be better if they're gone is a bummer of a takeaway.
It's like the opposite of what we want. Because, like, even the line right at the end, I love you, but you're all assholes, fuck you, I was like, ugh, yuck. Like, why? It's like all your friends getting it together and just being dicks to each other at the end of their lives. It's fine if you're, like, fucking around. But we like when they're being playful and fun. When their last words to each other were, fuck you? It's like, Jesus Christ.
That's real family, though. When you can say, fuck you know what I mean? That's how you know you're
Of course. You can say that. Like, I feel like, Pete, you say fuck you to me constantly. But if your last words to me, if we're in a Goop situation, a Durango situation, and you're like, hey, man, last thing I want to say, fuck you, I'd be like, yeah, that's not the coolest way to go out.
Yeah, but it's on brand. I mean, I say fuck you a lot, so I feel like that's how I'm going to go out. You know what I mean?
You'd have to wink. You'd have to wink, and they didn't wink.
Okay. All right. Well,
so remember the wink.
I'll try.
And don't blink.
Whoa. Yeah, I just feel like after my takeaway was, you know, you want to be the Lila, you know what I mean, in the family. I feel like she did her line when she was like, hey, thanks for letting me be in this weird family, was very touching. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think, sometimes all it takes is like a sane person to kind of like step into somebody's family and be like, here, this is how you guys are all wrong. But I think it is a little disheartening that the answer is we don't exist. I mean, it's kind of a cute way to end a show. That's insane, where it's just like, yeah, what if it never happened? That way, you know, you can't blame us for a crappy show or whatever. But I did think that
I don't think that was the goal. I understand what you're saying, but
yeah.
I don't think we wasted our time here for four seasons. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't like shaking my fist angry at the ending. I think there could have been cooler ones, but I mean, there was some nice moments. You know, the Gene and Gene fight with the samurai sword was insane. And
I guess there were so many things.
It was a murder.
Okay, there are a bunch of things that bothered me about this finale, but before I say any of them, I do want to mention
The nice things first.
Well, but overall, the main thing that I want to say, and I always feel this way, is I think as a society we put too much value on finales to retroactively show how we judge a show. There's a lot of stuff that I really liked about the show. I like the characters. I like the actors. I thought in particular, and, you know, maybe we'll talk more about this later, but I thought season two was great. That was a great season of television. So nothing that I disliked in this finale retroactively makes that worse in any way, or the takeaway. There were too many things that felt so rushed here at the end and confused and just flat out did not work for me in this last episode. To go through them maybe kind of in order, starting with the Gene and Gene thing, I cannot wrap my head around why Abigail, who wants the cleanse to happen, and Gene and Gene, who wants the cleanse to happen, Abigail's like, I got to keep that secret, kill Gene and then kill Gene, despite the fact that we have perfectly aligned goals. Add in the fact that Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally, great, Gene and Gene, interesting characters. Why get rid of them at all? It didn't make any sense.
it's a fun way to go out on a show, is being cut in half with a samurai sword. If I'm going to be on a TV show, I would be like, can I get cut in half with a samurai sword? Okay, great. Then I'll say yes to this project.
That's not how writing scripts work. Thank you. Just say your lines.
Nobody cares.
Sir,
nobody
this is cares. A documentary. We don't kill anyone at
But I think it was a... Yes, they did have goals aligned, but one of the genes was already dead. She was in too deep. So it's either like, what are you going to do? Like, hey, listen, I'm not your gene, but we have the same goals. Let's talk quietly, not in front of this angry mob, all with guns. Like, I don't think that works out. So the easiest thing to do is grab a samurai sword and cut your problem in half. You know what I mean?
Wow. Bad. Can't wait for your philosophy book to come out.
Pete? Oh, dude, it's going to be hot, dude.
Good. Sounds short, honestly. The thing that I would say is...
The good news is, like Kramer's coffee table book, you know, it's going to have weapons that come out of the back. I mean, spoilers. You know what I mean?
Wow. This a lot is of Seinfeld just, popping yeah, up. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, if we could have a little shrinkage on the Seinfeld references, that would be pretty
I
cool.
think the pressure nice. That we put on the end of a season is we want something that makes all the time we invest it worth it. We want them to land the ship and say, hey, thank you for tuning in and spending all these hours with us. And, you know, when it doesn't happen, you feel like, what the fuck, man? I was hoping you guys would make, you know, give me something.
Well, but here's the thing. I feel like I don't have that pressure. I don't need them to bring everything to a close. I just, in fact, the opposite. I want a regular episode that just brings things to an end, that like sort of says, and that's it. And I think the bad thing about so many finales is like, haha, here's everything figured out. And this one sort of weirdly tried to figure out what they had on the table this season was too much for them to figure out. So it felt messy just there, because I don't think they brought any larger ideas to a close. It's just Gene and Gene weren't really useful characters because they were just thrown away when we realized they weren't super important at the end of. They were just as much a foot soldiers, like red shirts, as anybody else. And yeah. It felt like they were such cool characters at the beginning of the season. I wish they were more important. When Abigail feeling guilty about creating Durango, I was like, this is not the valuable arc here. And that's the one we end up satisfying. No, totally.
And the only thing I could think of, I was trying to think, why did she do this? Why didn't she reveal herself? The only explanation I can come up with is Gene and Gene particularly pointed to Reginald and Abigail as the man, the people pulling the strings behind. So if she showed herself off, maybe they'd be suspicious and it wouldn't quite work there. But like you're saying, Justin, there was just no reason to kill them off. And then that directly follows into the scene of Abigail and Reginald on the bench, where Abigail is explaining, this is my fault and we got to make it right. And Reginald's like, good point, honey, let's die. And that also didn't track from anything that we've known about Reginald over the course of four seasons.
And we've set up an inherent mystery about what is his deal, what's his motivations, and we're left with, like, just nothing? Just like he's just like a goober alien dude who's like, I put this juice, marigold juice, all over these people, and then we fucked around, and then they died and ruined everything, and I killed them more, I guess. It's just like, okay, weird.
While we're tearing into elements, I will also throw out there that I didn't love the monster apocalypse. You know, when you're teeing up something called the cleanse, that does feel blob-like, like they teased in previous episodes, and how it eventually turned out with just sort of liquid spewing over everything. To have a big kaiju monster actually diminished it in my mind a little bit. It didn't feel as big. It felt like more of a localized thing.
Were you hoping for like a Mr. Clean situation, like a bald guy who's just kind of wiping off the earth?
So the first time we see the cleanse is when Ben and Jed bowed down to the motel, right? And it sends out shockwaves, makes this guy vomit black bile, and it kills all the birds of the area. The second time, whether we see them now, they turn into vines, moosh into each other, and become a big monster that eats people. Right. It just feels less terrifying to me, because that's more like, here's a monster, everybody leave that area, go to another area. Or is that monster going to grow as big as the world? Maybe. That certainly would seems you
like,
to be the potential.
What would have been better? Like, you saw Morgan Freeman in the corner just with the eraser, just kind of, you know?
No, I think, again, when they first do the cleanse in the motel, they're watching the blob. If it's the sort of thing of an amorphous blob that's slowly growing over the entire world, that I get. But calling back to the previous season with the Hotel Oblivion, when they had a very good visual of, I'm forgetting what they call the fireball, but like the fireball pulling away the entire world. And ultimately there's just that one pocket dimension thing. This felt much smaller to me as far as apocalypses go.
The real terrifying cleanse is maple syrup, lemon juice, and cayenne pepper. That stuff will wreck you.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's why he was vomiting the black bile, right? Gets all that bad stuff
cleaned out. Yucky. I would usually set it out the downstairs mouth rather than the upstairs one, you know?
Yeah, I do a little bit of both. Like 50-50, you know? I do a 50-50 cleanse. The last thing, just both to continue to rail on stuff, I really didn't like how they resolved, in quotation marks, the Lila 5 Diego thing. Like, having them fight in the middle of the monster fight, I know that's typical Umbrella Academy, but with mere minutes left to go in the finale, it felt like, get your shit together, please, before the end here. We can't go and do this again, because they're already overpowered and nothing they're doing is doing anything, so, like, bring it together. Like, be a superhero team in this moment, and they 100% weren't doing it. Yeah. They were fighting against it, literally. And the ultimate resolution of Lila taking Diego's hand to be like, you know what, I'll take your hand too. That was weird and unsatisfying and like kind of icky as well.
Yeah, it was. I booed my television screen.
To me, it felt like the writers or the creative force behind these choices really like Five. And it felt like Five has been the driver of the whole show, basically. And there's some truth to that. Like, the one who's like, hey, guys, I just did this. We have to do this. Sort of the one who's been paying attention the whole time. And because of that, I think whoever was making those choices felt like Five should be rewarded with the romance that he wants.
I was hoping he was going to find his mannequin and walk off into the sunset with her. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted that mannequin ending for him. You know what I mean?
Well, and it would have been, I could have seen Five being the one that lives, getting away. Like, the whole diner of other Fives.
Joining the Five universe, you know what I mean?
I thought the diner of Fives was very cool, interesting.
It was fun.
Let's see more of that, maybe, or find
especially
a way to make that
especially the Fives
something.
Jumping in and ruining the momentum the other Five was trying to build was hilarious.
Well, I think that actually sparked something, the way that you said that in me, about what is ultimately unsatisfying about this episode is they left us with a less interesting universe. Like, if the goal is, hey, what if we wiped out everything that was fascinating about this and that it was just a bunch of people hanging out in the park?
A bunch of B and C characters. It's like the characters you don't really like. Like, they aren't the center.
Yeah, and the handler, like, we like the handler, we like Kate Walsh, but like with a less fun hairdo and outfit, for example. It was nice to see.
Seems like she was having a nice conversation.
The donut lady. Is it Cha-Cha? Yeah. It was cute. It was nice to see the sweets again. It's nice to see all of them having a good time, but like,
nice day in the park, man.
I guess. I don't know.
That's all life is
like
one
saying,
nice day in the park.
Everything that we followed here is more interesting. To end with nothing out of the ordinary happened is a bummer. That's all.
Well, and the Umbrella Academy ethos is like, yeah, we know we fucked up, but we're going to keep doing it because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. So really, if they wanted to make that ending where all their people they love live on, we should have seen them somehow looking down on that and being like, all right, let's wreck this other world. Let's go mess this other thing up. Like, that's the vibe. And it's just strange to me that they made the choice to have it be like, let's end it instead. Let's erase the interesting thing about this show.
Well, on that point, too, so Lila initially plans on leaving with her family as well as Claire Bear and presumably nobody else's family, gets them on the subway, then steps out at the last second and is like, they're safe. They've gone somewhere, except that they immediately destroy all of the timelines.
Yeah.
They're gone, right?
They're dead. Yeah.
Yeah. They're dead. What a bummer there, too. I don't know. It felt like unnecessary business to drive that home. I don't know.
I did like the part where everybody was kind of coming over to Diego's house where his family was and the take off the shoes bit. Like, I like that. And the Lila Allison hug was really very sweet and nice. And I was surprised at how powerful that was, where it was nice that, like, Allison was kind of being brought back into the family a little bit. Yeah, and I just, the Diego finally realizing that he had a great life all the time was kind of this Alice in Wonderland moment where it was like, you know, you've had the power the whole time. So that was nice. It was nice to see Diego finally be present with Lila and be like, hey, I'm sorry about sleepwalking and not being aware of everything that's going on. So that was great. And to see Lila's reaction to it was really very moving and nice. It didn't last very long because she was like, also 5'2". And I was like, why are we doing this? You know what I mean? Well, like, we have a clean moment here.
I felt unsatisfied by the Diego Lila moment because I think the action was anticipating the hand with five moment. And like, that, yeah, so like, I was like, if they're the love story that the show wants, I feel like the, you're watching the show, that's the romance you want to work out because it felt like that's what we were doing. And the way it turns here, and the idea that Lila fell in love again in this separate life that she had in the subway, this, her his strawberry, like her strawberry husband, if Fred said that.
Yeah, in the strawberry world.
Like, that's interesting, and I just wish they had given that, look, I love you, Diego, and I love you, Five, and honestly, it doesn't matter that because we're dying anyway or whatever. Like, they just didn't sort of square it. It just felt a little mushy, and it felt like the Five Lila thing was a little unearned in the way it was presented.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, just to talk about some of the other characters, like you said, Luther gets a fun moment where he's punching the cleanse monster, but otherwise not too much going on there. Klaus barely does anything. Allison barely does anything.
Luther asking for pants was fun. You know
Luther
I mean?
Asking for pants was fun. I also did like, even if I didn't love the scene, Luther, Allison, and Klaus sitting on the couch and reacting to everything that was going on, the drama with Klaus, with Five, Diego, and Lila was very fun as well. Some good reactions.
Luther got to be fun throughout. Yeah. So I like that.
Also liked, while I'm looking through notes here, liked hearing Baby Shark one last time. We didn't mention Victor at all. I think if anybody had an actual arc over the course of the show, it was Victor going from being the one pushed to the side, causing the first apocalypse, to ultimately being an actual hero at the end here and almost saving the day. That was the one that I felt like had the most closure.
Yeah, and he got to hear Alien Daddy be like, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. You're on the team.
You're on the team, and then all Victor wanted was to be with his family, and that's where he was at the end. So that, to me, was the most satisfying arc over the course of the show that I do think they landed pretty much right.
Yeah, I mean, it was the goop thing was a little kind of crazy that turned into the goop monster, the Ben and Jen of it all.
The goop. One quick thing on Victor before we move off it. I agree with you. Like, it made the most sense as bookends for the series. I wish they had sort of pointed to that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I also wish that Victor just sort of got to know that or enjoy it. Victor seemed just so miserable throughout this finale, like murdered a guy's brain off and just
so violent, unnecessary.
Well, it was necessary because if he would have told the angry mob that was literally just around the corner, you know, you just have to, sometimes you have to blast somebody's head off to keep things quiet.
Yes. Do you know what I thought was going to happen in that moment? I thought Victor was going to sort of rocket up with his powers, sort of just blast down and fly or something like that. That would have been fun.
That would have been
instead
cool.
of murdering somebody.
There are other ways to solve problems, Pete, that aren't a samurai sword or a brain break.
Fine, but you know, you got to keep your samurai swords sharp, as I think we learned in this episode.
Yeah. Can't wait to read your book.
The ultimate, so just to like talk about the ending, if anybody was confused, because it took me a while to sort of wrap my brain around it, and I'm not sure I still 100% get it, but Abigail and maybe Reginald or whatever, but Abigail created this marigold that caused the creation of Durango. It destroyed the world in the last moments. He sent the marigold off to Earth that created all the Umbrella Academy kids. But the problem that they're solving here is they constantly cause the apocalypse and then stop the apocalypse. And the apocalypse is supposed, that is the cleanse. Every time there's an apocalypse, it's the cleanse. It wipes the world clean of the Umbrella Academy gets rid of the Marigold and Durango. But they keep stopping the apocalypse, which splinters off the timelines and makes the problem worse. So ultimately, that's why they need to be wiped out here at the end. Is that kind of
what you guys like you were got it. I don't know why you'd say you don't got it. It seems like you got it exactly.
All right.
I think that's correct. Oh, go ahead.
But well, all I was going to say, Durango. Though, is this brings me around to the end of the thing. Is like, the thing that doesn't square up to me is I get why you got to get rid of the Marigold and Durango and get rid of the powers and ultimately, like, unfracture the timelines. All of that stuff from sci-fi fantasy perspective makes sense to me from storytelling. The part that doesn't make sense to me is we need to get rid of you, these people. And mind you, they didn't exist right before the Marigold, but it feels like there's another, you know, made up solution there, but this is all made up. This is all fantasy where you could have had them in the park being normal and finally got to have the normal, happy lives that we started the season with. They never really got that would have been more satisfying to watch because we like these people and we want to see them go on.
I agree with you. And then I guess the takeaway is what we were saying, like it's better to just be a flower than to keep living. Because what is life but, you know, causing and fixing apocalypse, smaller apocalypses in your life.
Yeah.
Like that is a one way to read what every human's life is. So that's again why I found the takeaway here so bleak, where it's like our goal is to not exist so a couple people that we never really got to know technically can live a little bit longer in a grassy field. Felt nihilistic in a way.
Yeah, it's very messed up to be like, hey, you know what? The world would be better without you. Things would stop screwing up so much if you weren't.
That's not the message we want, you know.
No, absolutely not. One little thing, just because we talked about it at the end of the last episode, this I know probably bugged me and nobody else at the beginning of the episode. We got a montage sequence of everybody getting ready to Muse's map of the problematique. As soon as the driving music came in, I was like, oh, cool. They're going to do a My Chemical Romance song because Gerard Way co-created Umbrella Academy. And it was not. It's Muse, who is a band that's toured with them multiple times. And I was like, this is so close, but like slightly off. It's driving me insane.
Well, especially given the other like banger expensive needle drops they've done on this show, I was like, Muse? What a weird, after the end of the second last episode was building up like this song, play the song. Mm-hmm. When the song happens, it's time to do stuff. I was like, Muse? No one thinks that's the song to do stuff to.
Well,
it was such a weird choice.
Yeah, but I did think it was insane the effect it would have. I mean, that one lady just walked away from her baby. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
She had her stroller and then the song came on. She was like, I've been waiting my whole life for someone to play Muse.
And yeah. And her job was to throw strawberries at Alex in the subway.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Do you think when, you know, they were playing Muse on K-Rock or wherever they play Muse, and they started playing
that huge K-Rock song.
K-Rock? How old are you?
Huge K-Rock song. Muse crushed it on K-Rock. It was a puddle of mud. Muse.
K-Rock. Do you think, though, when they played Map of the Problematique, that people would be like, oh, got to drop everything and leave, and they'd get to the location. They'd be like, no, they were just playing the song. They were just playing it on the radio.
Yeah,
or was it the choice because it's a song they literally never play on the radio?
Exactly. That song has never been played on the radio, and that's the trick.
Now, let me ask you, when that song plays, that one lady goes behind the counter and gets a gun. Do you think that was her gun or that was like the store's gun that they used to protect itself from bad
people? Great question.
Because I was just like, do you
bring your gun to work? Owns the store, It was her gun, but the store's gun at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I also feel like Gene and Gene chose the song. Are you think Gene and Gene are big Muse fans?
No.
Because
huge Muse heads.
No, I again, it just didn't make – none of that made sense.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I like the song choice at the end, I Think We're Alone Now.
Yeah, that was fun.
To their solo dances in season one was a very nice bookend.
Yeah.
I thought. Yeah.
I was going to say, do you think like, no, I forgot what I was going
to. Was it something about Muse?
Strawberry Wives.
Oh, what I was going to say is, how about when Vic showed up and all of a sudden was weapon shamed? It was like, hey, come on, the song just came on. It was grab whatever you could on your way to this place. Like, you know, lead pipe isn't a horrible thing. They're like, oh, you call that a weapon? It was like, hey, I mean, what?
I thought it was such a great, because Vic in that moment is going undercover with a mob by using a Sharpie and grabbing a tire iron, which yeah. I thought was like seamless. It's perfect. A lot of undercover cops mm-hmm. do the same thing when they're going to meet toughs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They put like a little, they draw a little mermaid on their shoulder yeah. in Sharpie, and they're like, yeah, I got tats. And that's pretty cool.
Also, do you think,
yes, I'm like in this militia.
If you're going to be in like a secret underground society, like I would think maybe the tattoo shouldn't be in a prevalent place where someone might just be like, hey, person who works in the CIA, what's mm-hmm. that tattoo right there?
That made no sense. That was yeah. crazy, that whole thing. Anyway, that's a different episode, though. Anything else about this episode or I guess this TV show that you want to bring up?
I mean, we were harsh on it, but I do like this show top mm-hmm. to bottom.
Yeah. Except I mean, overall, a lot of great, characters in this show, a lot of fun. Oh, one thing I want to ask was that like when they showed the person drawing Umbrella Academy, was that like Gabriel Ba or something? Was that like a real artist from the comic book that they showed there in that park sequence?
I don't know. I missed
that. At the end.
Maybe it was.
When they showed the park, they kind of where somebody was drawing the Umbrella Academy and kind of went over the shoulder a little bit. I was like, is that Gabriel Ba? Was that one of the artists?
I don't know. I totally missed that. I'll have to go back and take a look. Apparently, there's a lot of Easter eggs in that scene as well. People hiding in bushes and things. I don't know how that works, but there you go.
Hard to figure that out, I guess. Oh, one thing I had been saying all this season that it's always been the same Hargreaves. And it was, right?
No.
I think it is.
No.
No, it definitely
I'm
wasn't.
Stick with it.
He said he was an alien.
I'm gonna stick with it.
Yeah. No, same it's guy. It's Hargreaves 2.0.
Yeah, he was the guy in all the advertising, the cartoon, you know, and all the fun signs.
Reg's
and stuff
Chicken is what
you
think. What did you guys think of the mid-credits scene where we do see the marigolds blooming? What was your takeaway from that?
I was like, I could have done without this.
Oh, you hate flowers.
Well, no, I just think that, well, if the flowers are going to grow, then does that mean we do need the Umbrella Academy? That they should exist? Because it feels like they just went against the message of like, oh, these, we just pull out the bad family members who who shouldn't exist and the world's going to be fine. But if it's going to grow marigold again, then we need the Umbrella Academy.
Well, it was the thing that doesn't quite work about it is it was actual marigolds rather than marigold, the mystical substance that gives them powers and creates them. But somebody check me on this, please. But I believe marigolds, at least in part, stand for remembrance. So what I took away from that is it's just a way of like their memory being there, even though they don't exist.
So the marigolds were just like, hey, remember that crazy show you watched four seasons of?
Yeah. It would have been better if they did the Little Shop of Horrors ending where it was their faces in the marigolds and then they sung a song. That would have been cool.
That would have been nice. I know. I feel like one of the marigolds was just trying to do some drugs briefly. So I think that I feel like that was the Klaus marigold.
Yeah. By the way, Alex, we should ask you. Did they finish off Klaus's addiction storyline? No, not at all, right?
Well, if you want to talk about that, you should go watch the Hot Ones episode where Klaus and Luther trip balls on hot sauce and they're out of it, man. They're like out of their gourds. So that if you want to see somebody all fucked up on drugs, just watch that.
I would love to see that. Thank you.
What's your Klaus check, Alex, at the end of this episode?
Yeah.
Wasted this entire season, I think. Robert Sheehan is fantastic. They couldn't figure out what to do with him, which is wild because I thought they gave him a really strong choice at the beginning of the season, but it completely fizzled out halfway through. They had no idea where to take it at all. He didn't even do anything in the finale, right? Like in the final fight? Did summon ghosts? Like he could have summoned a ghost army, I guess, or something. I don't know.
That would have been cool. Both he and Allison didn't even get any last statements.
Right.
At the end. So
weird. Very weird.
What a boomer.
Yes. Overall, though, if we're going to move into our final section and talk about who got top marks, why don't we do this? We'll do top marks, best of the episode, best seed in the episode, best line in the episode, and overall, best season, which season gets top marks as well.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
How about that? Yes. Oh, Pete, you would like to start. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say Lila, and I think the best line for me or best scene was her saying, thanks for letting me be part of this weird family. Because she did join the show late, but she was a great part of the show. And I think a really one of my favorite members of that insane family. So I was very happy that she joined this weird family and show. She saved it in a lot of ways for me. As far as stuff that she helped people grow and see things. So it was great having her. So, yeah, I would say she was won the episode for me. And that was my favorite line. Best season? Whew, that is tough, man. I don't know. I guess maybe two. I can't even really remember. It seems so long ago. I remember liking the show. I feel like I'm trying to convince myself, but yeah, I remember liking the show, and Luther and Klaus have always been a lot of fun. So,
all right, there you go.
Nice.
That's Pete's final statement. Justin, what about you?
I got to give it up for Luther. I feel like is the character that just maintained a lot throughout and didn't sort of fall apart based on the storyline, was there for the fun and sort of maintained that throughout. Sad that we got a couple mentions of Sloane, never got to see a reunion between them this season. Felt that to be strange, but just really liked him and he maintained the heart of the show, I think, throughout. Favorite scene for this episode was the Five Diner.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a fun little break in the action. Felt super creative. Some of the best moments in Umbrella are the creative swings they take, and this felt like that for this episode. And favorite line, one that we haven't mentioned yet, did you S-K-R-E-W my wife? And then the kid corrects him. Great. It's just great stuff. Prime Diego.
I'll throw out there, as I mentioned earlier, I think Victor had the best overall arc in the show and really stood out in this episode when a lot of other people stood back. Also really liked Diego in this episode, despite not loving the whole storyline with Lila and Five. I thought, like Pete called out, his whole thing, hanging out with the family and take your shoes off and everything was great. So that was a lot of fun. I agree with the deli full of fives scene. That was the most visually interesting one. I'll throw out to you guys, we didn't discuss this yet, but where did the pastrami meat come from? Was that Five as well? Like, do you think they made pastrami out of a five and then they were serving five to other fives? Because yeah, they're in a subway station.
Oh, it's got to be rat meat then, yeah.
I didn't see a lot of rats in the interdimensional.
It's a subway, dude.
I think it's other fives. I think they were eating five meat in that deli, which just makes that scene more wonderful and intriguing to me, to be honest.
Wow, and, what a weird thought and takeaway.
And the fact that you liked it is freaking me the fuck out, man. And when you're like, you know what they're eating? Five.
Five. Alex is the five of this podcast.
Pastrami is five. And I already said this earlier, but season two was easily the best season of this show, far and away.
Oh, I will throw out that for the favorite season. You guys have picked two, I believe. I'm going to go with one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to correct myself and go with one just because Mary J. Blige and...
yeah, I was shocked you didn't say that.
Yes. Well, there you go. That is it for the Podbrella Academy. Thank you so much for listening. We do have a lot more podcasts you can check out, including a live show every Tuesday night where we interview guests live. We have a bunch of TV recap podcasts and other things you can check out. So if you have enjoyed this, please check out the other things. If you hated it, please don't. Get on with your life. Enjoy.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Imagine that we have gotten cleansed out of your timeline, you know? So there you go. If you'd like to support the show and all the shows we do, patreon.com/ comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the Umbrella Academy. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter /ComicBookClubLive on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, there is no next time. School's out, kids. School's out forever.
And to you two, I say, I love you, but you're all assholes. Fuck you.
Yeah! Fuck you, and I'm out.
And we'll come back and the garden is three little sprigs of poison ivy next to each other.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.